Good morning, I'm Michael Cathcart. You're on RN. Welcome to Books and Arts. Today we look at some stunning contemporary Aboriginal art with businessman Patrick Corrigan. We'll find out what drives him to collect so much of this work. And you'll meet British comedian Ben Elton. He's written a very thoughtful novel set in Hitler's Berlin. Well, this weekend in Sydney, a new national champion will be crowned. It's not a sporting event. It's the finals of the Australian Poetry Slam. And this is how it works. Contestants have a microphone, there's a live audience, and there's just 2 minutes for the contestant to impress the judges with his or her original poetry, hip-hop monologue, or story. For the winner, there's a tour of China. As part of the Bookworm International Literary Festival, the winner performs at next year's Sydney Writers' Festival and... But wait, there's more. And at the Ubud Writers' Festival in Bali. I would love to go to the Ubud Writers' Festival in Bali. I wonder whether it's too late for me to enter the Poetry Slam. Perhaps I wouldn't win. Probably wouldn't. Over the last few months, there have been 38 heats. Oh, yes, I'd be cactus. 38 heats across Australia with thousands of hopefuls performing. And now it's down to the very best of the performers. There's just 16 artists battling it out for the prize this weekend. And I'm joined now by two potential champions. Fred Van Sand is the winner of the Top End Poetry Slam. He's on the line from Darwin. Hi, Fred.
Good morning, Michael.
Nice to have you here. And Zoab Khan is the winner of the New South Wales Poetry Slam, and he's in Wagga. Hi, Zoab.
Good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm terribly well. And in Sydney, we're joined by Miles Merrill, who is the founder of the whole damn thing. Hi, Miles.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Now, you're from Chicago originally. This is where it all began, is it, in Chicago?
That's right. It started in Chicago in 1986 in a bar called the Get Me High. There was a guy who was a poet and a construction worker, and he would show up to poetry readings, and he thought occasionally it was too self-indulgent to have someone speaking into a microphone for 20 minutes or until the audience had left, with... you know, their face to the floor, kind of mumbling and dropping sheets of paper everywhere. So he decided to create this opportunity to give the audience a chance at judging.
So being an American, he introduced the competitive element.
Well, actually, I did some research, and it turns out that the origins of Western literature are in the Athens competitions around Sophocles, Euripides, Aeschylus, and the judges for these annual sort of poetry and theater competitions, which were in a stadium. The judges were chosen randomly by lottery by the local government. And the only reason we know Sophocles, Aeschylus, and Euripides is because they won their poetry slams.
They were poetry slammers.
That's right.
See, I love Euripides, but I've never thought of him as a poetry slammer, but I can see it all now. So you brought it to Australia, Miles.
Yeah, that's right. I moved here in 1996 and started performing spoken word in the Sandringham Hotel in Newtown. And we just started doing poetry slams for $20 and a bottle of wine. But then in 2005, the State Library of New South Wales asked me to perform at their Christmas party, and I suggested we run a poetry slam instead. And it took off, and we convinced all the other state libraries in the country to jump on board, and it became national in 2007.
So this is brilliant. So if you're having an evening, how does it work? How do the contestants get to be contestants?
Well, it starts in small towns around the country. So, for example, in Wagga, they have a local heat where spoken word artists and poets and monologue artists show up. And there's a live audience of about 70 to 80 people. And the host on the evening throws five things out into the audience. Could be candy, could be condoms, could be toys. And those people become judges. And essentially, the community chooses two people to represent each small town in each region around the country. And then they go to a state final, and then two get chosen by each state and territory to represent their state and territory in a national final. So that's coming up this Saturday, December 1st at 8 at Sydney Theatre.
This just sounds brilliant. Well, let's talk to a couple of slammers. Now, as I say, Fred Van Sand is in Darwin. Fred, you're the Top End winner. How long have you been doing this?
Slamming, this was my first time, but I've been reading poetry and was lucky enough to win the Darwin Poetry Cup back in 1990, so I've been at it for quite some time. The competitive side of it has not really occurred to me. I had a horrible mind experience years ago when I decided that competition was not for me, and it worked quite well for a while, but I happened to be at the heats up here with a piece, and yahoo, here I am talking to you.
So what do you do in your day job, Fred?
I paint houses, look after my children. I have a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old. My wife runs a theatre company, a youth theatre company, so I get the pleasure of looking after them quite regularly, unless the painting is completely swamping me. I get a lot of time to think while I'm painting, which probably helps hone poems. I never used to do anything like, you know, a second draft or anything, but it does seem to work.
Now you can do a second draft while you're doing a second coat.
Yes, exactly. It's better than watching paint dry.
I guess that's right. So how long have you been there in Darwin?
Got here in 85, 25th of June, and it was supposed to be a 3-week visit, but in the great tradition of people captivated by Darwin, I think I've been away for about close to a year over that time.
I suppose there were a lot of new houses built a while back, and they're probably now due for a second coat.
And I only do domestic painting, 0448 302 371.
Oh, you can't do that. We'll have to express the explode button. You're on the ABC. We'll have to delete that. I don't know what we've done. You've created this ethical problem. Is there a top-end style?
No. Look, it's varied, as I imagine it is in all towns, cities and nations. There are... there's a lot of people that are still doing love poetry. That's fantastic. I occasionally do things like that, but they're couched in slightly different terms. I tend to look at things more from a sociological or, environmental viewpoint, as in the social environment.
We better hear you do that. Give us an example of your work. What are you going to perform for
us? All right, well, this one got me a commendation in the Red Earth Poetry Award a few years ago. I can't quite remember how many. I think it was 2008 or 2009. It's called 30 Years. An old stockman walks by, grey-green hat moulded to his head, silver-greyed hair, a snowfall, yellow long-sleeved western shirt, blue jeans sag low, bare feet, left hand grips the right just below the wrist, slow and deliberate. Bareheaded number 3 cut walks by, yellow T-shirt, blue jeans sagging low, bare feet. Left hand grips a Coke bottle, piss-coloured contents, lifted to a mouth loud and angry. In 5 minutes, 30 years of disappointment just walked down my street.
Oh, a melancholy one.
Yeah, it's a bit melancholy. As I say, it's sort of observational. Those sort of things happen, and then you just have to, from my point of view, you just have to throw in the nuance of what it means. It's a bit melancholy, but it also points out that, you know, this doesn't necessarily happen all the time. In this particular case, in 5 minutes, I got to see two people who were wearing roughly the same clothes, but they came from completely different viewpoints of what had happened to their culture.
Yeah, nice contrast. This is Books and Arts Daily on RN, and we're talking about poetry slams because the big finals are coming up in Sydney on Saturday night. Fred Van Sand is talking to us from Darwin, and also we've got Miles Merrill, who runs the whole shebang. Now, we're also joined by Zoab Khan. He's in Wagga. So tell us about your background. How do you come to this, Zoab?
I'm not sure. A little bit of an accident, to be perfectly honest. I had a hip-hop background, and everyone my age and with a little bit of urban culture always wants to be a hip-hop artist, and it slowly just evolved from there. I met the right people, and they suggested spoken words the way to go.
Okay. So what poem are you going to perform for us?
It's a poem I wrote a while ago called Faith.
And do we need to set this up in some way?
No, not really, I don't suppose. It's pretty self-explanatory. It's just my opinions on faith and, you know, not much else to it.
Okay, off you go.
Too easy. Faith. I was always taught faith was blind, but I prefer to see mine, because, see, I'm supposedly a dissident, discordant, devilish disbeliever who decisively decided he's dazed and definite that religion could be, maybe is, a life prerequisite. That's why I continually question it and lurk on cold pathways and wait for the right phrase for lyrical miracles. I ain't a spiritual teacher. I'm an empirical preacher, a Torah, Quran, biblical reader, a Siddhartha, Gautama, Buddha believer. Faith is my love. That's why I need her. I need faith like I need to breathe. I need to breathe like I need to eat. I need to eat soul food. Food for my soul as I grow old, I seek to start meditating, levitating, elevating up above. Yo, bruv, where's the love gone? Bring back the days of the true love songs. Bring back the days when we used to pray, used to play, used to say what we want to say. Nowadays, it's all power games. I miss the days when Mumbai was still Bombay. Back before that terrible September day when those two planes forever changed the New York skyline. I long to take back what's mine. I long to take back what's mine. I long to take back what's mine. My freedom of speech, my freedom to preach, my freedom to roar at the top of my lungs till my lungs get sore. For I only know one holy war, and that's to love more and hate less. And for some, jihad means terrorist, but jihad means struggle. And I jihad on the daily to be the best me that I can be. Because terrorism knows no religion. Was it not terrorism when Terra Nullius was claimed and people were slain in the name of the almighty British Empire? That's why I long to inspire you to view religion from the other side's eyes. For I am not Muslim nor Jew. I am not Christian nor Hindu. I am me. I am you. For we are us. We are one. And so that would be it.
That would be it. Saab Khan, you do very good phone. That's fantastic, talking to us from Wagga. So your parents are Pakistani, which I guess explains where some of this passion's coming from about these issues.
Oh, we're very passionate people, us Pakistanis.
Well, no, it wasn't that I was suggesting some ethnic stereotype about your passions quotient, but you're negotiating something about religion and I guess how you're seen by people in Australia, are you?
Yeah, I believe so. I guess me growing up in rural Australia, I've got a different perspective on the world, I like to think, which is a great thing. And, you know, you get into a few unique circumstances every now and then.
Such as?
Such as, unfortunately there are a few bad eggs in the world and you do get a few racial run-ins and, you know, it changes your perspective on the world. And I like to use it and make it into a positive thing and use it for my poetry and, you know, expand my art.
Yeah, well, it's a powerful thing you've come up with there. What, have we got time for some more?
Yeah, I can do another one.
All right, we'll go back to Fred first. Fred, have you got another one lined up for us?
Yes, I have, actually. I've got one that came from a discussion with my young nephew, Adam. We were discussing how, this is obviously my point of view, how crap Jeff Buckley is compared to his dad, Tim. Obviously, he having first heard Jeff Buckley was, despite the fact that his mother is quite a fan of Tim Buckley.
I don't entirely agree with that, Fred. Sorry to jump
what's
in.
That? Oh. That's okay, Zoe. I write for people to comment and to stir the little brains.
Exactly.
And not to say that yours is a little brain, Zoe, but it's obviously quite stupendous.
Now, stop trying to psych each other out. Just
it's a mutual flattery association, I hope.
Just totally, totally. Us poets must stick together, I think.
Okay, let's hear community.
Okay, this one's called Buckley's Then None. To each generation, their own idols. For you, the lonely boy left by his father, a voice like an angel, poignant, fragile, alone. For me, the junkie troubadour, seeking sounds new, voice soaring, fragile, crowded by transient love. And I wonder if you asked, did he kick out as he was sucked under? I did. Another melancholy one.
No. Well, it's poignant, I think, is the word.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
So about Jeff,
I'll use you as my editor next time.
Okay, Jeff and Tim Buckley, the singers. Zoe, have you got one?
Yeah, why not? Just a quick one?
Yep.
Just a quick one. Okay. Yeah. It's called I Write. I Write. I write not to fight, but to love. I write not to fight, but to love. I write not to fight but to bring light to darkness. I write not to fight but to bring sight to blindness. I write to inspire an internal fire in those who desire to fly higher, for my feet were never designed for the ground. I prefer to walk on the clouds where my footsteps make not a sound, and I can twirl like a mystic insouciant dervish around and around, around and around. I write to tell those who pose not to pose, because you can't pose when you write prose, poetry. Your mind, set it free and fall hopelessly in love with the love of poetry. But to some it seems that the only rhyme schemes be A-B-A-B and A-A-B-B and A-B-B-A, but that's just not my way. It's just that I prefer A-B-H-N-A and A-B-T-Z-K and A dollar sign question mark 7 exclamation point hash star 4 equal sign plus sign 666 open bracket close bracket XXX smiley face percentage 7 element OP 7 Q W E R T Y 7 A-A-B-B-A-A-B-B-A. That's why I prefer not to confine my mind to pre-written lines. I prefer to set free my mind in a place where elastic lines intertwine with mystic rhymes. In these sadistic times, it's hard to find oneself. Materialistic objects should not define oneself. That's why I write. I write not to fight, but to love. I write not to fight, but to love.
This is going to be a very difficult competition to decide, Miles Merrill.
Yeah, it will be. The competition has definitely ramped up this year, and last year was intense as well.
I mean, what I'm noticing is that we're not listening to poets using self-consciously poetic language. They're drawing their language from somewhere else. Can you talk about that, Miles? Where does the language for this kind of poetry come from?
Well, it's a variety. It's it's personal experience, of course, but I think what's happened with hip-hop is a lot of people have become disenfranchised with the marketability and the mainstream culture of hip-hop that is kind of betrayed its grassroots beginnings. And so people who still love the rhythms of hip-hop have said, turn off the beats. I want my content to be heard. Because, you know, often people will just bob their head to the beat no matter what you say. But if you really want something to stand out, I think a lot of people come from that hip-hop and go straight into spoken word. You know, I don't think anybody wants to be the piano player at David Jones anymore. So they don't want to sit comfortably in people's backgrounds. And, they're getting up and saying, well, this is what's on my mind. It's not a political speech and it's not a rap. It's basically a reaction to being marginalized from mainstream media, I suppose.
You know, the terrible thing is I'd quite like to be the piano player at David Jones.
Lovely.
I can see myself there strumming away my autumn years. That was fantastic. So I'm so envious of the people who can go along to this gig. Are there still tickets, Miles?
There are a few tickets left. They are running fast, so jump in there and grab one.
Well, that's terrific. Thank you so much to all three of you for joining us, and all the best to the two competitors, all the competitors on Saturday night. Miles Merrill is the founder of Australian Poetry Slam. Fred Van San is the winner of the Top End Poetry Slam, and Zoeb Khan is the winner of the New South Wales Slam, and they'll be in the lineup this Saturday night. So the finals will be held on Saturday, that's the 1st of December, at the Sydney Theatre. Huge theatre, Sydney Theatre in Walsh Bay in Sydney. This is Books, Nuts & Daily on RN.